All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
Hi, you've reached the extension of Jim Lee. I'm not available right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Hey, Jim Lee, it's Big Kev. It's 8:30 Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, and we are recording Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 24, the one with Jim Lee, which means we need a Jim Lee to be in it. We've selected you because you are vaguely relevant to the stuff that we cover. So we're going to keep calling until you pick up the phone. This is Geek Stuff, episode 24.
Ooh, 24.
24. Bet you're wondering what the name is, aren't you?
Not really. But go ahead, say it anyway.
No, it seems like a pompous thing now that I think about it that we should call it this.
Why? It's like a play on that whole, you know, the Friends TV show, the one with the weddings.
Is that what they call those episodes?
Yeah, like when they name the box sets and stuff.
Wait, you watch Friends?
Yeah, and? Oh, you're right, because watching a show with three hot chicks in it, totally fucking gay.
No, Charmed was awesome. I'm talking about Friends.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, not good. Throw out your little name.
Episode 24, The one with Jim Lee.
Wow.
I think that says it all.
I think so.
Of course, if we don't get Jim Lee, this is going to look like a shitty, shitty title.
But in the meantime, something else we were hoping about doesn't look like it's going to happen the way we hoped. Aliens vs. Predator 2.
Uh-oh.
Since the last episode, or two episodes ago now, we actually got a message from one of the listeners of our show.
Ooh.
Who said that he had read something a bit ago, and I actually remember reading this now, too,
about
the plot of the movie. It is not going to be in the Old West, which I didn't really think it was anyway. I kind of thought that was really wishful thinking.
Right.
It looks like it's really going to be in the Midwest.
Oh, goody. Aliens versus Predators versus Pi.
Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty much awful. It's going to be like, you know, Hick Sheriff of, you know, Bumblefuck USA versus Alien versus Predator. That's just dumb.
Oh, great.
So,
well, that'll do well.
Yeah, that'll do Fabu.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something to say, Mr. Fantastic? You looked eager to say something.
There's nobody I'd rather see get killed than Hicks.
All right.
I don't know.
That's fine.
Wow. Kind of a little prejudice against the Hicks there, aren't you, Fantastic?
Maybe.
Well, think of all the like horror movies that are set out in the Midwest. You know, what's the Leatherface one?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Yeah.
That would be the Southwest.
Southwest?
Yeah.
Well, what's the Midwest then? Like
Ohio.
Kentucky.
So it could be set anywhere then.
Yeah.
It's like Delaware.
Yeah. Luck. It's really about our hopes just being shattered.
Yeah, it really is a shame. That's what it is.
It is a shame.
I got something here.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's now official.
Okay.
Toy Fair magazine is now completely and utterly useless where toy collecting is concerned. This is no longer a magazine about toys. This is now a humor magazine.
All right. Like Mad?
Like Mad, only not funny.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mad is funny. This is just Dreck.
Mad has a fold-out in the back.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fold-in.
Fold-in.
That's yeah. right. Mad has Spy versus Spy.
They have now gone, and on the cover of this month's Toy Fair magazine, they have now done the whole thing up like one of these Inquirer-type things with Brad Jelena's baby adopts baby. And they have figures and blah, and all these, you know, all these really funny stories about, then they have a battle damage Batman. It says Batman, his hotel run-in with Russell Crowe. And you know what? Inside the magazine, there is, we counted them, 23 pages in this magazine are just pure Dreck. There is the usual, or the, we've come to understand as usual, the 9 pages of what they consider funny.
Right.
Kind of, what do you call them, Inquirer-esque
right.
Articles where they have pictures with celebrities' heads on toy bodies in funny situations and ha ha ha.
Ew.
You know what, guys? If you want to write this shit, you should have joined your buddies over at Robot Chicken. And if you couldn't cut it there, or you're trying to get there and you're not there yet, stop torturing us, because it's ridiculous now. It's completely ridiculous. This magazine used to be something really spectacular for the toy industry, in my opinion. It doesn't have to be
sure.
anyone else's opinion. 9 pages of this rag Dreck. Then we have further along, we have 10 pages of Twisted Toy Fair Theater, or whatever the hell they're calling it now. I guess it's still Twisted Toy Fair Theater. There's 9 or 10 pages of that. Okay. There's an article in here. Yeah, I'm really pissed off, Fantastic. I really had it. I mean, I love the incoming section. And you know what? If the whole magazine isn't going to be the incoming section or relative articles about news, about toys, they should stop publishing the magazine. This is a waste of time. There's a $6 million makeover. 5-page article about science fiction TV shows that should get a reboot or a redo or should be brought back to life because of the success of Battlestar Galactica and Doctor Who. And now they've picked all these shows. And of course,
how does that fit into Toy Fair?
It doesn't at all. They don't even discuss toys. The $6 million man is one. Buck Rogers is another one. The Greatest American Hero, V the Series. And of course, the funny one at the end, Small Wonder.
Ho ho.
I mean, it's terrible. It's just terrible. It has nothing whatsoever to do with toys. This belongs in Wizard Magazine or nowhere. You know, and I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry that you're the second fiddle here. But you know what? And then, of course, as usual, there's the price guide.
Sure.
As we know, and it features toys and statue price guide, which is great. There is a visual reference in here for Toy Business Spider-Man and Friends line, which is over. And finally, of course, has to be said, the top 10 hottest action figures of this month. You'll never believe. The Solomon Grundy from San Diego, the Chase variant, the slimed one.
Right.
Anakin Skywalker from San Diego. The Marlena Moreau from San Diego. Nemesis Prime from who is Transformers Alternators from Hasbro, who I don't know what he is or where he's from. The 501st Legion Stormtrooper from San Diego. Solomon Grundy, the regular version, from San Diego. The Minotaur General Seathis, which is actually an awesome figure from the guys over at the Four Horsemen. This
right.
is their creator-owned yeah. line that they've created, fan line. Mm-hmm. Fantastic piece. That's number 8, and he was available in, right, San Diego. Battle Cry Gokin is also on here at number 10.
San Diego.
Available at San Diego. I mean, no shit. Do we really got to waste two fucking pages in this magazine to tell me that all the San Diego shit are hot toys right now? Gee, are they?
They should have just done a San Diego top 10 and then a regular top 10.
I mean, give me, I mean, I've really had it. You know what? It's no longer worth, everyone listening, I love Wizard Magazine. I have loved it from issue one till right now. I read it every month. I love Toy Fair Magazine the way it used to be. I read it every month. I'm the biggest fan of Wizard Publishing. I love all their stuff. Hell, I'll even read some of their other magazines like Inquest Gamer that I don't really play games that much. And I'll read that other magazine that they have an anime one
anime
also.
Insider.
And you know what? Even occasionally I'll pick up and read an article and find interest in that magazine. I no longer feel that $4.99 is a justifiable price for this magazine. Everyone paying attention out there, go find yourself Lee's action figure. Go find yourself Tomarts. This thing, for its 33 pages of incoming, it's not worth $5. It's not worth 60 cents a page or whatever the math works out to be. It's not. And for the few articles, in this case, a couple of them happen to be really great. You know, the Spider-Man and Friends one that I mentioned earlier. And there's actually a big two-pager about the deluxe Green Lantern. Great stuff. But you know what? It doesn't work out to be worth $5. I'm sorry. It's gone.
I've said it time and time again. Anything that I see in that incoming page, if I really care enough about it or it's really worthwhile, I'll see it online way before that magazine hits my hands anyway, 9 times out of 10. The few times that it doesn't, I'll see it online a week after it hits that magazine.
Yeah.
So
that's because there's pictures in here, like from the Marvel Legends line. From the Marvel Legends line, the new ones from Hasbro, their second line that comes out where Blob is the Build-A-Figure.
Right.
They're showing pictures that they took in the vault in San Diego.
Yeah, well,
so it's
who
like,
cares?
Well,
yeah. We saw them already.
Okay, we got it.
Yeah, we've seen them already.
Right. So that's it. I'm done with Toy Fair. I'm no longer buying Toy Fair magazine. That's it. It's just not worth it. You know, if someone's throwing out some old Toy Fair magazines, maybe I'll pick them up for the historical quality of the thing and to use as some sort of timeline reference. Other than that, the magazine, as far as I'm concerned, is about as irrelevant as it can get to the toy industry and the collector.
That's sad.
Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I don't know. How am I supposed to follow that up now? Go on this tear. I'm supposed to continue with my news.
You want to hear a tear? Here's your tear.
Yo, that ain't right. I don't even have a chance to read that magazine yet. That ain't even right.
Don't worry. It'll be right over here in this pile.
Great. Now I got to piece it together, you human paper shredder.
Will you light that ablaze?
Not in the studio, Fantastic. Come on. There's valuables in here that could burn. Okay. You done? Can I move on now?
Yep, go ahead.
All right. So apparently, Variety Magazine ran a piece earlier this week in which the CEO of MGM, Harry Sloan, announced a couple of flicks that MGM was going to be working on in the near future. Among them included a sequel to The Pink Panther, a sequel to The Thomas Crown Affair, a possible Terminator 4, which we knew was coming anyway. But he also mentioned The Hobbit,
really?
As directed by Peter Jackson, which when I first heard this, I was really excited about. I mean, any good, honest Lord of the Rings fan wants to see Peter Jackson do The Hobbit. Anybody that's a fan of those movies.
As a 12-hour miniseries.
Yeah, exactly. No, but even as a 12-hour miniseries, I'd appreciate it that way, too.
Okay.
But anybody that's a fan of those movies, that's a fan of the original work, that's a fan of Peter Jackson, wants to see him do the film. So I was very excited to hear this. Except that apparently Peter Jackson hadn't heard this. Peter Jackson, not really sure where it came from. He said he'd love to do it, that he'd be willing to do it. But as far as he was concerned, no one from MGM or New Line, who had done, who did the original trilogy, hasn't actually approached him to do it.
Wow.
So I don't know what that means.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting about that also is that, you know who else has been a big proponent for doing The Hobbit?
Who?
Ian McKellen.
Well, yeah, sure.
Ian McKellen really wants to do The Hobbit.
Sure, he gets to really flex his muscle on that one.
Yeah, and he really, he has been, I think, an integral part in trying to get the rights issues cleared up. That's what it is at this point. It's rights issues to get The Hobbit done. And the last time I heard, I mean, I cracked wise about it being a miniseries earlier, but last I heard, that's what they were discussing. Some sort of perhaps made for HBO
right.
or some sort of cable network, which I got to believe at this point would probably be HBO, where it would take place over so many episodes.
Right. Well, it needs to be someplace where the budget is going to be adequate. Because at the very least, at the very, very least, the task of creating smog for the screen, whether it be television or movie, has to be daunting and quite expensive. So it's got to be someplace where there's a large, large budget.
I think we're past that whole worrying about that sort of special effects, don't you think?
Yes and no, but, you know, I've seen the made-for-sci-fi channel Dungeons & Dragons movie. I don't want to see smog treated like those dragons.
Yeah, but
I want to see a good dragon.
But for the record, Fantastic could do a better job than that fucking show.
Yeah, if the budget is there, that's what I'm saying. It's got to be wherever the budget is.
That's for the humane treatment of dragons.
That's I am.
Yeah.
Awful. So let's see. Hopefully Peter Jackson does sign up. I know that there was, you know, I had heard that maybe there were some questions between MGM and New Line. I had also heard in the past that Christopher Tolkien, the son of J.R.R., was trying to put a kibosh on The Hobbit, although I don't know why, other than he's a pompous ass, and he's always been a pompous ass.
Really?
Yeah, he's always treated that work kind of pompous, and I think he's jealous that when he tried to write his War of the Rings trilogy, which were the three books that were supposed to follow up The Lord of the Rings, they pretty much sucked. And I'm sorry if you like them out there, but then you suck as well. So
I liked a little parody book called Board of the Rings.
Yeah, I like that too. I also heard that Peter Jackson wanted to do some stuff like The Adventures of Tom Bombadil. So I'd be interested to see if he ever does that. But
right.
Moving away from that.
I got something.
Go ahead.
Apparently, I haven't got final confirmation on this yet. And it could be somebody just having fun at my expense. But okay. I'm going to say this. Marvel is following up Civil War next year.
Oh, no.
With yet another massive crossover story that will affect the entire universe.
Right?
I heard, and I'm sure he's messing with me, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, because if it's actually real, then it'll sound like I'm smart.
Right.
A reliable source who will be on this program in 2 weeks mm-hmm. to defend himself when I find out this isn't true.
Right.
Told me that the crossover is actually going to be called World War Hulk.
Ew. Well, you know what, though? I can't even say ew. I feel guilty saying ew because I said ew about Civil War when I heard about Civil War.
Whose side will you be on? Yeah,
exactly.
The Hulk's or everybody else's?
So, I don't know. I wanna hate it because it sounds like it could be awful if it even is true, but I'm not going to say anymore.
First of all, God only knows. First of all, if Quesada ends up with a job after this Civil War nonsense is over, that should put him out of one, I would hope. Because, okay. I mean, enough is enough already. Enough is enough. These massive things, you have to buy 3,800 books. Look, I know the bottom line is to sell books, Joe, but you know what? I'm not a child and I can't afford all these books. How's a 14-year-old going to afford 15 books a week? All right, let's say it's three a week. $15 a week. How are they going to afford that, Joe?
Well, they're not. They're going to go online to some of those resources we've talked about in the past. And
either that or they're just banking them all being delayed.
Yeah, exactly.
By one a week or
yeah,
one every 2 weeks.
Well, wait for the collected version.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a bad idea. I hope I'm wrong about it, and I hope that I got the right information there, because if I didn't, you're dead, you motherfucker.
Right. Well, since we're talking about rumors and what may or may not be, apparently there's been a rumor floating around that Bob Hoskins was going to be in the next Batman film as the secret character, which they keep on pushing the fact that there is somebody else in this film that they have not announced yet, but who's it going to be? You know, and it's the Riddler's been tossed around, the Penguin has been tossed around.
I didn't hear Bob Hoskins as the Penguin.
Well, that's one of the more recent ones. And when asked about it, Bob Hoskins actually said that he was interested in it. Now, and he would consider doing the role, which I think he would be great in that role.
I heard Surrey Holmes Cruz is going to be the Penguin.
Oh, yeah? What? Could be able to put her in a little penguin suit. And she could...
I heard she doesn't need one.
Oh. Oh, right.
Just saying.
But, you know, when DC and Warner had shot down the rumors of Philip Seymour Hoffman potentially being in there as the Penguin, they only said that, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman wasn't going to be considered for the role of the Penguin. So maybe, I don't know. I'm one of those people that believe where there's smoke, there's fire. And it just keeps on coming up. So there's got to be some sort of truth to it. So, okay, well, then I guess that wraps it up because I don't really have anything else for this particular portion of the show.
It rats it up?
Yeah, rat, rap, whatever.
Rats it out?
Yeah, rat it out, wrap it up, whatever. It's all the same.
Cut it down.
Put it on some bread with lettuce, I'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Take us out of here.
Hey, college students. Ever wonder what that hot girl sitting next to you in class looks like wearing next to nothing? Or how your school cheerleaders measure up in the shower? Well, you're no longer horny co-eds. You can feast your eyes on your local fantasy girls and a whole lot more from Student Body of New Jersey magazine. Loaded with cool features and hot reviews written for and by college students of the Garden State, along with sexy shots of smoking ladies on campus, Student Body of New Jersey is the newest publication out there, totally devoted to New Jersey colleges and universities. Student Body of New Jersey magazine is available for free on and around college campuses throughout the state. For more information on Student Body of New Jersey magazine and an exclusive sneak peek at this issue's pictorials, log on to myspace.com/studentbodyofnjmag. And while you're there, find out how you can score a copy of the Friends of Student Body compilation CD. Available free for a limited time and featuring tracks from rockin' local artists, including the Benjamins, Ian of Fire, and others. Don't just sit there fantasizing. Get your hands on a student body tonight. Go to myspace.com/studentbodyofnjmag to learn more. Student Body of New Jersey, the New Jersey college experience exposed.
Hi, you've reached the extension of Jim Lee. I'm not available right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Hey, Jim, this is Matt from Geek Stuff. We were kind of hoping you'd be on the phone with us tonight, you know? Our episode of the show, the one with Jim Lee. We'll call back in a couple minutes, like 5 minutes maybe. All right. You just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 24.
The one with Jim Lee.
Right. So, as you know, September 12th, the Star Wars trilogy, unaltered, was re-released on DVD. Or I should say, was released for the first time.
The first time. The uncut versions, the original theatrical cuts of the films were released.
Right. For the first time on legitimate DVD, I should say. Because the boot's been around for years. But anyway, as part of these unaltered discs, obviously there are a lot of changes that were made for the special edition that have now been corrected, so to speak.
Right.
And I just thought maybe we should talk about them a little bit, or at least highlight some of them.
Well, I think it's important to say here also that, you know, it's almost it's kind of a gift and a slap in the face.
I take it as a slap in the face, personally.
Well, but why are you taking it as a slap in the face? Because it's yet another version of the films?
No, I take it as a slap in the face because we were told that he was never going to make these versions available. And if And if his reasoning behind that was legitimate and true, which was that the special editions of the film were his true versions of the film, right? And that they were the actual vision, but he wasn't able to do it because of money and budgets back in the 70s, then that's fine, and he should have stuck to it. But now, releasing them, it seems like it's a ploy just to make money off the movies again. Okay. So it's a slap in the face.
That being said, he is giving you what you wanted.
I have it already.
So can you not? Yes. but actually, you don't.
I know.
You think you do.
Right.
Everybody thinks they have it. Nobody's got it. Because these are, to my understanding, unretouched in any way from the original theatrical versions, which means, according to my understanding, I haven't checked this out yet, but I'm sure we're going to get into some of the changes. The original crawl from Star Wars, which did not say Episode 4, A New Hope.
That is correct.
The original credits, which did not include James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader.
Correct.
So you're talking about the original, and moreover than these little spotty things that they changed over the years, they have not cleaned them up.
Mm-mm.
You can now see again, like 100 years ago. The stormtrooper hitting his head, the ship matting.
Boxes around the TIE fighters.
Yep. All of that stuff.
Luke saying carry.
Yeah, all of that stuff that you have come to forget was in there in 77 is all back.
Right.
I didn't know that they took those out of the special edition.
Yeah. Yeah, he touched them up and cleaned that stuff up so it wasn't in there.
So here's what I'm sorry, fantastic.
They took the stormtrooper hitting his head out, but then they put it into the episode 1, 2, and 3, right? There's like always that allusion to a stormtrooper hitting his head on something.
I don't think so, is there?
Yeah.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
I think it's in each one, they always hit their heads on something. There's always one stormtrooper, even if it's like in the back, he's running around and you see something hit him in the head.
I don't know. Yeah, but it wasn't as blatant as... Do you know the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where R2 and 3PO are in that control room?
Yes.
And the stormtrooper's coming in, the door goes up, but it doesn't quite go up all the way, and he walks in and he just... Bonk right in the fucking head. I mean, it's like clumsy oaf stormtrooper.
It's classic.
It is classic, yeah. And that's why it should be in there.
Yeah. Cool.
But I understand that. But
so the point I was trying to make was that it's a gift in the sense that this is what they wanted, and he's given them what they want. They want the original theatrical versions without any cleanup, just like the junky bits all back in, well, then that's what they're going to get.
All right.
All the puppet heads and all the bad masks in the cantina and everything else, that's all going back in. So right. I say
Let
it's
me
a
revise
gift.
Mine.
Wait. I say it's a gift and a slap in the face.
Okay.
Because that's the gift then, because you're getting what you want.
Right.
The slap in the face is that you're really getting what you want.
Okay.
Because really, now what it has done is it's opened up the door for George to do another version.
All right. Which he's going to do. We all know that. He's going to do the 3D
version. But I don't even mean that. I mean a version where it's, okay, these things are fixed, like technical glitches, and it's the sound is fixed, and all of these things that aren't fixed in this version to be fixed in yet another version, either before or after the 3D versions. And what versions of the film are we getting in 3D?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he's going to touch them up. It's probably going to be the special editions, but we don't know. That's getting too far. But let me add on to my original statement or why I think it's a slap in the face more than I think it's a gift. First of all the advertisements, right, that I've seen, with a few exceptions, are not actually touting it as the original edition, except for the new commercial that's running on TV right now.
Is it the one with the family?
Yeah. No. What they're saying is it's the special edition, and as a special bonus feature, you're getting the unaltered edition, right? Okay, so that's a slap in the face, first of all. And second of all, if that's what he was going to do, then why didn't he do it on the last release, which was less than a year ago, or which was a year and a half ago? He could have done it then. It's just another way of putting the same movie out there again.
I think he couldn't justify I don't think he could justify releasing the original version without there being such tremendous feedback to his statement that he would never release them.
This feedback and this complaint from the fans has been going on since he started putting these things in the theater.
Okay.
But I think we're getting off topic.
All right.
I think there's a lot of controversy.
Rein us back in.
Yes. There's a lot of controversy that surrounds this, and okay. I think that's going to probably be around for as long as Lucas is around and is doing Star Wars-related stuff.
Hey, I think you geeks are getting what you asked for.
Okay.
All of you geeks.
What I really want to talk about is what is it that he's undoing, so to speak, from the special edition? Because I don't think everybody fully knows. I think everybody kind of has an idea of some of the more popular ones, but there are like little bitsy things.
So in addition to the ones that I've already said, that there are obviously a bunch more in all three films.
Right. One of the more obvious ones, or the biggest one probably, is the Han Solo Greedo shootout.
That's got to be the most famous one at this point.
Immortalized.
Well, it's probably the most controversial one.
Right.
And I really think it is the one that led everybody's ire to become so strong about the other ones.
Okay.
Okay. So they've re-reversed it. So Solo shoots first.
Greedo, and only.
They don't shoot. It's not the theatrical special edition where kind of Greedo shoots first and it's awful. It's not the DVD edition where Lucas touched it up again and made the shot simultaneous. This is just Solo firing.
Han slaughtering Greedo.
Right. The way it should be. All of that crap about, you know, Han's a good guy and he would never do that.
No,
bullshit.
He isn't.
He's not a good guy.
No,
he's a
he
scoundrel.
Isn't.
He says it himself. That's his characterization. He's a bounty hunter. It's live or die. Do it for the buck, especially at that point in the trilogy. So it's back
is
the way it should
be. Is he a bounty hunter?
Well, it's kind
he's
of.
No,
he's
a smuggler.
He's a smuggler,
I think, in the Star Wars.
Bounty
tournament.
Hunter. I think bounty hunter really covers it.
You know, but, you know, like, smuggler is to bounty hunter what, like, privateer is to pirate. It's really kind of.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if the paycheck was big enough, he'd do what he'd have to.
I'm willing to bet if we go through the Star Wars canon, we'd find Han bounty hunting at least once.
Well, I'd like to put it out to the audience then. If you think that Han was a bounty hunter, why don't you get mommy or daddy to put a crayon in your hand and write in to Big Kev's Geek Stuff and let us know. No, seriously, if you have a comment about that, you know, go to the website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, and send us a comment about that.
Sure.
I think the majority of the responses, and that would be three, are going to say that Han was a smuggler and not a bounty hunter.
Okay, well, I think probably in some capacity he was a little of both. But well, let's move on.
Right, but he does have that edge to him, which this version that is now coming out will restore,
right,
the other versions watered down. And
exactly.
That's the point.
Exactly. The scene with Solo and Jabba the Hutt in New Hope in the hangar before he gets into the Falcon is no longer there.
Right.
What you will see is the actor who was originally supposed to play Jabba the Hutt still walking around in the background, but it won't be the sluggy Jabba that we know.
So he won't actually have the scene with the human Jabba the Hutt?
Well, the human Jabba the Hutt, which was played by Declan Mulholland, I believe, he was always kind of there. But he was just in the background. You could actually see the character that was supposed to be him walking in the background. He was wearing kind of like this long red coat.
Yeah.
It's kind of very Henry VIII, the way he looked.
But they actually shot a scene, that scene.
Yeah, but that was not in the original trilogy that was released in 77.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that we're not going to see
nothing.
Any of that. Okay.
Right. Out. There's also a very famous scene where Han is trying to outrun some stormtroopers, and he's running down a hall, and he comes to a carrier door, and the door opens up, and on the other side of the door, there are stormtroopers waiting for him. And in the original one, it was like four, you know, and they got his guns pointed at him, and it was very kind of funny and silly. And when Lucas touched them up, he turned that 4 into something like 400. So now Han runs into a room and there are just tons of stormtroopers.
Like a battalion.
Yeah, and I think only a handful of them I think maybe looking at him, because really all it looks like he did was he took that one image and then he just duplicated it over and
over.
Oh
my God,
it
was so bad. It was comical when I saw it in the theater. It looked like he took the clone brush in Photoshop, went through every frame and just pop, pop, pop.
That's exactly what he did.
He was stormtroopers.
It was kind of silly.
They're like hanging from rafters and all in the odd angles.
Right. those are three changes that I'm going to be glad to see undone. Because I like the way they were presented originally. Next would be when you first really see an outside view of Tatooine. If you remember, originally it was very barren. It was kind of like, okay, I'm going to get a little geek here for a second. But for those of you that played Star Wars Galaxies, it was kind of like Mos Vegas, right? It was one strip and just a bunch of buildings on the side and on each side, and that was it. It was just one long strip.
Right.
As opposed to the retouched version.
You really should be more specific.
Oh, should I say the Starsider server?
Las Vegas on the Starsider server.
Right.
Back when Galaxies was a game that people could actually play.
Exactly. When he touched it up, he kind of made the scene a lot more bustling. He added a lot more buildings. He also added the Rontos and a couple of the Dubaks, a couple of Jawas, more people in general walking around. There were a couple of vehicles, a couple of land speeders and stuff like that in the background. So he really turned it into a city as opposed to a wretched hive of villainy and scum.
Yeah, it turned from like a little ghost town type hive hideout.
Right.
To like a sprawling metropolis, especially in those CG views that they added in.
And I think that the small ghost town is more fitting for what it's supposed to be, because you kind of get the impression that this is kind of where, you know, not so nice people go to kind of get away maybe from some of the other stuff that's going on in the universe.
Like smugglers and bounty hunters.
Yeah, exactly. So why would it be this huge metropolis? It should be kind of almost like a ghost town, and it should be kind of like a saloon with, and that's it, and not a lot around it. So I'm glad they've undone that. They've re-added in the Wolfman, which was an awful Halloween mask on it. Yeah, exactly. And he really contributed nothing to the scene other than he was there and he was hokey. That one I don't really care about so much.
They named that character too.
Yeah, it's...
And I can't remember what it is, because I remember in the Star Wars card game, it was kind of one of those, it was one of those collectible card games, and I remember the Star Wars, I remember that character actually having a name. They've named all those.
Shistavannins, something like that?
Shistavannins?
Something along those lines. Yeah, it's Shistavannens. And they reclassified them in the expanded universe literature and subsequent games and stuff. Figures, I didn't know there's a figure of him. And
there
all that
is?
Stuff. Yeah. I'm pretty positive there's a figure. It's one of those ones that was peppered in there along with like Momo Nadon and all those other characters.
Well, you collect Star Wars. Don't you have the Shistavannens figure?
If there was one of him made, then yes, I do have it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because it was early on, so I was still collecting at that point in time.
Okay. Just checking.
What else?
In addition, some of the space scenes that we had talked about with the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters.
With the matting.
And they're not CG. They were turned to CG. Originally, they were actual props that were kind of filmed and moved around and stuff like that. So that's changed. A change that I never even noticed or realized until I was looking through this article in the newest Star Wars Insider issue 89. Would be Cloud City. When you see Han and Lando and Chewie and Leia kind of walking through that hallway as Lando is leading them to their ultimate capture by Darth Vader, they added backgrounds to Cloud City behind the windows.
They opened them. They made them windows when originally they were just walls.
Yeah, well, they were glass, but it kind of looked like they were looking at the inside of a ship. Like maybe it was like a carrier that you were looking down to.
They were classic 70s smoky white glass, just for ambiance and nothing else.
Right, and instead they really opened it up and they added a whole atmosphere and outside world.
Yeah, they also added those generators or condensers or whatever those big buildings were that Han did in Cloud City.
You can
see those as the cloud cars are flying through. They added those too, I think.
Yeah, they in general, they really kind of juiced up Cloud City.
Right.
So that's a pretty big one. The scene with the Wampa in Empire Strikes Back mm-hmm. was extended. You see a lot more of the Wampa. You actually kind of see him with that, you know, that bloodied face, and he's a little bit more gruesome, and it's a little bit more drawn out, as opposed to the quick kind of flash of him as Luke is, you know,
getting clawed in the face.
Yeah, it's
just like that one. And then they just use, actually in the movie, just one arm.
Yeah.
That they made like one Wampa arm and knocked him off the thing.
Exactly. So now you actually get to see him, and there's that scene where he turns around and he's got like the blood dripping down his face, because we needed that. And it just seemed useless to me. It seemed pointless. I think the original one was a lot more mysterious, and it kind of kept a little bit of mystery about the Wampa. Kind of made me want to know more about the Wampa. And then when I found out about it, it was kind of disappointing because it was in that shit special edition.
Of course.
They put out the toy, though.
They did, yeah, but the toy was pretty nice. Yeah. Actually, all incarnations of the toy. There was a toy in the original line, too, back in the
80s,
and
it was fantastic.
And then there's a new one, and yada, yada. So then now there's plush. You can get a plush Wampa.
Ooh.
We're going to move into Jedi. Probably one of the most notable scenes in Jedi that was changed.
Did they put those Ewoks back in?
Well, hold on. You're getting ahead of yourself.
You got to take this one slowly.
We've got to start with Jabba's Palace.
All right.
They've restored the original song by Max Rebo, Cy Snoodles, and the rest of the Max Rebo band, as opposed to that new song that was kind of like that upbeat jazzy song with an entirely new singer. And there was another band member that was added in there. And so that's back to the original.
For me, that was the Greedo Fire's first segment. Of that one. That was the one where I wanted to get up and leave when I saw it.
Yeah.
The lips on that CG character, and she's singing, and
wasn't
she's
that
supposed
Cy
to be
Snoodles?
Pseudo-sexual. It's just, I wanted to leave the place.
Cy Snoodles and the Max Rebo band?
Yeah. No, there's a female character, I think, who's Cy Snoodles.
Isn't it nice, Cy Snoodles? Cy Snoodles? I think so.
I don't know.
Matt,
I guess,
back
me
up here.
Right.
Yes, it was Cy Snoodles.
Ha.
And it was Max Rebo, and there was a third member, too, that I can't remember.
Well, see,
in the original band,
it's
there
so
were
different
members.
From what I first imagined it to be. It's just no good, no mo.
So, yes, they did add the Ewoks back in. Well, not the Ewoks, because the Ewoks were in there in the special edition, but the original celebration song at the end of Jedi, which I really kind of liked.
Yub.
Yeah, I kind of liked that song.
That was a classic.
Beat up, but up, up.
I like that song. So that was nice to finally have that in there. In addition, they put Sebastian Shaw back into the scene with.
Oh right,
Sebastian Shaw is the original Anakin.
I was saying, isn't there
who in the end of Jedi? You may remember you see the ghosts of Yoda and Obi-Wan and Anakin. Having
Correct.
Been released from the Vader, I guess, persona.
Correct.
By killing him and turning him and all that jazz, he then appears as a Jedi alongside Obi-Wan and Yoda.
Right. When the special editions were done, not the theater versions of the special editions, but the DVD release of the special editions, they had taken Sebastian Shaw out. And they had put in Hayden Christensen.
Ooh, I hate that guy.
Which really is blasphemous to fans of the movies, to Sebastian Shaw. And it really doesn't make sense because
the late Sebastian
Shaw,
by the way.
Yeah, the late Sebastian Shaw. And if I'm not mistaken, although I might be on this one, I think that they changed Yoda in that scene also to the newer looking version of Yoda from the trilogy, if I remember. But I could be wrong on that one. But it doesn't make sense that they put Hayden Christensen in there, because when you see the other ghosts, it's an elderly Yoda, probably, or the way he looked right before he died. It was an elderly Ben Kenobi, the way he looked before he died. Why would it be a young Anakin Skywalker as opposed to an old Anakin Skywalker the way he looked before he died?
I can answer that.
Why?
Because Anakin Skywalker died the day that Darth Vader was born.
For me, that's a possible answer. It's not one I buy.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a loophole,
all right,
to be honest.
What should have appeared then? Tell me what should have appeared. Should it have been either A, the young Anakin Skywalker who died when Darth Vader was born, just like Obi-Wan said?
Okay.
Two, should it have been some sort of recreated older Anakin and aged Hayden Christensen, whole again and in the robes? Or C, a burnt up, no legs, no arm, with no hair on his head, Hayden Christensen, kind of just there?
To be completely honest with you, if those were my only three choices, I would go with the... If those were my only three choices, I would go with the maybe the digitally older version of Hayden Christensen.
Restored. In some way that he never looked and so on.
Yeah. I mean, I get, if I had to pick one of those. But if I didn't, it should be Sebastian Shaw. Because Anakin was still there. That was the entire point of the movie, that Anakin was still in there, that... While Vader certainly existed, Anakin was not completely dead. That's how he had this whole turnaround. So if you say that Anakin's completely dead, then then maybe it makes sense to have Hayden Christensen as he looked right before he becomes Vader.
That's what I think. I bet if we were to ask George Lucas, fantastic,
maybe we should get him on the
phone. Get Lucas on the phone. And let's ask George if the motivation, because I think the answer is the motivation is that Anakin Skywalker died the day that Darth Vader was born. That's what I think he would say. Now, in the end, when he turns back for 8 to 15 minutes before he dies, you know, it's almost like the ghost of Anakin is possessing the body of Darth Vader as the body dies.
Don't become a lawyer.
I know. It's exactly what I feel like right now. I'm like one of those guys, no, dude, no. You do not understand the power of the Force, my friend. No.
I think that maybe if Lucas legitimately, honestly believed that, maybe I could buy into it and take it as canon. But my honest belief is that he just wanted to find a way to interject Hayden Christensen into the film to link it back to the original or to the new trilogy.
Kev, but if you're going to have this lawyerly approach to things, you can't ignore midichlorian count.
Wow.
Please, when they do the special edition of that movie, I hope to God the midichlorians are removed.
I'll bring blood tests into this courtroom, and then we'll do business.
Midichlorians. Ugh. I'd rather see the human Jabba. I'd rather see them digitally put that actor back into all of Jabba's scenes.
Didn't they change Boba Fett's voice on the DVD release?
They did.
Oh, that's true.
To coincide with the clone trooper voice, right?
Well, to coincide with the new voice of Boba Fett.
Jango Fett.
Right, Jango Fett's voice. Yeah. That one affected me.
Yeah, again, it doesn't make sense because no matter how much you look like your father or how much, you know, you maybe kind of sound like your father, you never sound exactly like your father.
But he was a clone. He would sound exactly like
Boba Fett was a clone?
Yes. Oh,
get out of here. Yeah, he was a clone, but
Hello?
He was allowed to
He was an
to grow
unaltered
at the
clone.
Rate.
No, Jango Fett was a clone.
No, Jango Fett was the real deal. Boba was the clone.
I thought Boba was just Jango's son.
Boba was a clone. He wanted one altered clone as unaltered clone
as to have.
Are you kidding
was
me?
Was that episode two?
That was episode two.
I don't remember that. Okay.
In addition to his fee, all he asked for was one unaltered clone.
He was laughing at those hilarious scenes with Jar Jar Binks. That's why he
in two.
Oh, yeah.
Not in two. Wait. Slow down.
There were no hilarious scenes.
You have to know that Boba Fett is a clone.
I didn't.
Somewhere know. In the recesses of your mind.
I honestly missed that. I totally missed it. It's all right. I'm willing to take my shots. I'm not perfect. I'm willing to take my shots.
He's a man.
BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can send your comments to, you can go over there and send your comments in about Boba Fett, Jango Fett, and Matt Fett.
I'm willing to take the criticism. It's okay with me.
Remember the Q-tip character?
Yes.
The walking Q-tip?
Uh-huh. Which one was that? I don't
In
remember.
Addition
that
to
was
his
the girl
fee,
she had like the
They were the whatever the planet was that they were making the clones on.
Wearing the light blue thing. Yeah. She had like the two little slits.
She says, in addition to his fee, all he wanted was one unaltered clone.
I completely missed it.
That's Boba.
I completely missed it.
I guess to summarize, they're out there now. You asked for it. Go out and buy it now and you know, and live with it. You asked for the unaltered versions. You got them. You got the crappy, unaltered, dirty, cheapo, we had no money to make this movie version, at least of Star Wars, and all the horrendousness in 2 and 3. Look, I'm no fan of the special editions at all. However, I think there is yet to be the edition that I will enjoy altogether and completely, which is somewhere between the special edition where he changes content and the this edition where he changes nothing. I think there's got to be a middle one in there that we really haven't seen yet. There's been other versions. The THX version was actually a remastered version, mm-hmm. and that's all well and good, but I still haven't seen the, I believe they would probably be called the special editions, where they've actually gone in and without changing content, but have made it look prettier. I think that's what I'm looking for, and sound better.
Big Kev won't be happy till they're in 3D.
I don't even get me started on that.
Are you looking for some great comic books, action figures, or some gaming merchandise? If you are, you should check out Bad Moo Games and Collectibles. Bad Moo offers a great comic book club with awesome discounts and plenty of extras. You can also shop their online store. You can check them out at www.badmoo.com. That's badmoo.com. Bad Moo Games and Collectibles is located at 80 South Street, 2nd floor, in New Providence, New Jersey, 07974. So check them out and let them know Geek Stuff sent you.
No
Hi, you've reached the extension of Jim Lee. I'm not available right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Hey, what's up, Jim? It's Mr. Fantastic from Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We're just sitting over here thinking of you. All right, I guess we'll call you back in like 5 minutes.
I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care.
And we're back with Geek Stuff episode 24, the one with Jim Lee.
Sure
I'd like to stress, it's the one with Jim Lee in it.
It is.
Just want to say.
With him in it.
We're going to do a quick little bit. We're always very excited when we receive Sideshow product.
It's and true.
Sideshow has doubled our pleasure this time around by releasing two fabulous 12-inch figures simultaneously.
Correct.
What do you got there, Matt?
I have the next piece in the Order of the Jedi line. This would be the 12-inch Mace Windu
Ooh.
Figure.
Ooh.
You know, he comes with all the standard accessories. He comes with the interchangeable hands, like the 12-inch figures seem to do. He comes with a comm link. He comes with that breathing apparatus.
Jedi food.
Yeah. He comes with two different lightsabers.
Now, what's the story with that?
To be completely and totally honest with you, again, I'm going to claim and put myself under the bus here. I'm going to claim ignorance on the two different saber hilts.
You're going to gently place yourself under the bus?
Is I'm going to crawl gonna underneath the tire and hope not to get run over too bad. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he had a different hilt for his saber for episode 1 than he did for episodes 2 and 3.
I was unaware of this.
The one for 2 and 3 is the one that I was most familiar with. And until I opened up this package and was like, what the fuck is this other saber up in this package here? Did I even realize that there was another one? So it comes with both versions of the hilt. It also comes with both versions of the saber fully ignited with the standard purple blade.
And that is the regular edition.
It is the regular edition. It is not the deluxe edition. The difference between the two, it's nothing actually to do with the figures, much like Sideshow likes to do with their 12-inch exclusives. It's an accessory that makes it stand out from the regular figure. And the accessory in this case would be the they're calling it the helmet of Jango Fett. But I'm saying if it's the helmet, it's got to be the head too.
Let me tell you something that would have saved episode one for me. When Boba Fett, the clone of Jango Fett, goes down onto that battlefield and he picks up that helmet, if that head had just popped out and fell on the ground, that would have made that movie.
Certainly probably would have had something to do with the rating, though, I'm guessing. Might have
Why?
Tweaked
decapitating a guy is fine, but showing his head falling out of the helmet. What was it, wedged in there? I never remember seeing him strapping that helmet on. It's just kind of in there. And when it fell off, you didn't see your head go one way and the helmet go this way.
Nope, you didn't. It just kind of stayed in.
So what was that?
I don't know.
Well, and you get your head cut off, it swells up inside?
Now, somehow the heat from the saber cauterized the wound, but it melted the metal and it...
You are embarrassing yourself and me with your Star Wars nonsense this evening.
Exactly.
Stop it.
Fine. Well, what do you have?
I have from the Heroes of the Rebellion collection.
Is that the first piece in the Heroes of the Rebellion collection?
I suspect probably yes.
Yes, right? Okay.
And it is Han Solo, Rebel Captain Bespin is what they're calling him. So we can call him Bespin Han Solo because that's what everyone else will be calling him. And he also comes with the standard fare. His costume from that movie is accurate.
Right.
And he has a blaster and the holster setup is beautiful, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
It's all worked and all tooled and very nice.
And that's an accessory? It's not already on the figure itself?
No, that's separate. You got to strap that puppy on him.
Hmm.
And he also comes with a droid caller, that little
round
walkie-talkie-looking thing that appears in every movie.
R2.
Did he actually use one of those?
Where can he be? I don't remember him actually using
Empire?
Oh, he may have. No, actually, in Empire, he didn't. He used the little caller when he was out on Hoth to call back to the base, I think, at one point. Maybe that's what it is?
He probably uses that in his bounty hunting activities, I suspect.
Mayhaps.
No, he doesn't. He also comes with the breathing mask and filter that they used on the asteroid.
Right.
When the Minox are sticking to the ship.
Right.
And speaking of Minox, if you were to get the deluxe version of this figure, you would get a large Minoc with the figure.
Awesome.
With a some sort of special feature. Fantastic.
Magnetic mouth.
Magnetic mouth, yes. That you can stick to anything metal in your collection, I believe is how it's advertised.
Fantastic.
So I don't think I have anything metal in my collection.
I have a quick insight on the Mace Windu lightsaber, courtesy of Wikipedia.
Ooh.
We have, during the 10-year period in between The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, Windu constructs a special Electrum lightsaber, which only a senior member of the High Council could possess, with a rare amethyst-colored crystal.
That's well, it. There you go.
Okay. I'm guessing that was some sort of expanded universe errata that we were not made privy to.
Actually, what I'm thinking is they screwed up the first one, and he decided if I'm going to fight, I'd rather have a smooth, easy to handle one. Because I'll tell you, of all of the Master Replica sabers, the Mace Windu one is the easiest to wield.
It is. It's the easiest on the hands. It's actually weighted pretty well. It feels very nice.
So I think badass himself, Samuel L. Jackson, probably was like, I need me a smooth saber handle.
Is that how he said it too? Is that how he requested it?
It's probably more like this. I need a smooth saber. I need a smooth motherfucking saber handle.
He's
something
a dirty
like that.
Snoop Dogg.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, everything you do is a Snoop Dogg.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson. No? Nothing? All right. Well,
of course.
All right. So that's the 12-inch Han, and we're all jazzy about that. Is there something else, Matt?
Yes, we do have one more piece, which... is a Mediacom piece. Now, am I correct? Is this the piece that Sideshow is distributing for Mediacom?
Yes.
Okay.
Sideshow is now distributing Mediacom, or importing, I should say, is probably the proper word.
Right.
Sideshow is now importing Mediacom pieces, and this is one of the first.
This is the super deformed chibi stormtrooper.
Right.
For those of you in the anime manga lingo. And it's a pretty cool little piece. It's cute if you're into army building or if you're a big Stormtrooper fan. I wouldn't want it necessarily for my personal collection, but it is a great piece. Mediacom is a company that puts a lot of care and detail into the products that they release.
To say the least.
And it's great to have an outlet like Sideshow to hopefully make more of their product more accessible to the collectibles market. Because right now, to get a Mediacom piece, you normally have to sacrifice a child or give up a kidney. Yeah. Or
be in Japan the day they come out.
Exactly.
Because they sell out like that. They're used to doing very limited editions. Is there an edition number on that box? Check the bottom.
I don't see one listed on the box. I don't know if it's...
Well, I'm sure they're limited in some way.
Yeah, no, it doesn't indicate on the packaging at all. It might actually indicate inside or on the figure itself.
It might have a certificate,
but nothing on the package. But you're right, Mediacom normally is it's a limited run, so it's nice to have Sideshow distributing their stuff, and I hope we get to see more stuff outside of Star Wars and whatnot in the future.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff that's coming in, so we can look forward to that. In conclusion,
yes,
it is SideshowToy.com. You can check out all of their fine products. Mm-hmm. As you know, if you listen to this show, we are the biggest Sideshow fans there are. And these products only justifies the way that we feel about the company. And you want to check out and pick up these pieces for yourself? Go on. Go right ahead and do that.
Hi, you've reached the extension of Jim Lee. I'm not available right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Hey, Jim. It's Big Kev from Big Kev's Geek Stuff calling again. So we're kind of worried that maybe you've had a stroke and are laying dead in your office. We're hoping that's not true, but we are starting to worry. So we'll give you a few minutes and we'll try you back. Okay, bye.
Hello. Is there anyone home?
And we're back with Geek Stuff, episode 24, the one with Jim Lee.
It's voicemail.
Yeah, exactly. What was that all about? What happened?
I don't know. I confirmed with him and everything.
He was so eager and willing. And
I know. He was very excited about being on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We were very excited to have him on Geek Stuff.
I know. Well, we had at least two sentences of him.
Yeah. Great.
I suspect that some sort of natural catastrophe has taken place and Jim Lee was unable to get to the phone.
Gosh.
That's what I'm guessing. Wow. Or there was a Padres game on.
Could be that.
One of the two things happened.
Right.
And that's the only thing I can think of. But we're going to get to the bottom of this. So let it be known, Jim Lee, we're looking for you, boy.
That's right.
We're
you will do this show.
Oh, you will do it.
You wouldn't have a choice.
You will do the epic four-hour version of this show.
Yeah, because the way I see it now he owes us.
I think Jim Lee owes us, which is fine, because if I can work that into a Superman sketch, I'm totally cool with it.
You're a whore.
I'm not a whore. I just
like Jim Lee's sketches.
What can I say? They're beautiful.
They are beautiful.
And they're very inspiring. They inspire other people to do sketches in my sketchbook.
Sure.
And speaking of inspiring, what are we talking about this evening?
One of our fans wrote into me during the course of the week and let me know that apparently, and this actually jogged my memory too, I remember this, our hopes about Alien versus Predator 2 being in the Old West, not so much.
Okay.
Definitely going to be in the Midwest.
Right.
Definitely going to be Aliens versus Predator versus maybe Jeff Foxworthy.
Current day Midwest.
Yeah.
God!
Fun. Versus Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, exactly. Get her done. And that's it. So
versus the blue collar comedy tour.
It's
going to
be the blue collar comedy tour with special guest Celtic Predator and Queen Alien.
That's what I meant. I wouldn't mind seeing those guys get torn to shreds or hit with a plasma blast. That's in the movies, not in real life. I don't wish that harm on anybody, but in the movies, I'd like to see it.
We also talked about Variety magazine running a piece in which MGM CEO Harry Sloan listed some movies that MGM is going to be working on over the course of the next couple of years, one of which was apparently The Hobbit, as directed by Peter Jackson, which is funny because Peter Jackson had no idea about this. Again, I think pretty much anybody that's a fan of the movies, of the books, of Peter Jackson would love to see him tackle this project, whether it's a movie that gets a full theatrical release or it's some sort of miniseries.
That's the only way it should be
done.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully Peter Jackson does agree to do it and MGM and New Line can work out a deal in which they do that. So we'll see.
I went on a tear about Toy Fair magazine.
You did.
Which I am now classifying as not necessary for you to read, dear collector, dear listener to this program. You no longer need to read Toy Fair magazine. For the 30 pages of relevant content at $5, it certainly isn't worth it.
Not in the least.
And to have to put up with the nonsense that's in the rest of that magazine makes it even less worth it. So I'm saying it. I regret it. It's like, you know what it is? It's like having an old friend die.
Right.
And you'll slowly watch the cancer eat him up, and that's it. I love Wizard Magazine. I love Wizard Publishing. I love, to an extent, Inquest Gamer and whatever that anime one is. I'm sure they're great magazines. I've read them from time to time. I read Wizard every single month. I have since issue one. I am no longer reading Toy Fair magazine. That's it. Bottom line, I don't care what they have in there. I don't care if they have the exclusive fifth wave of Marvel Legends from Hasbro and only can get it in Toy Fair. I'm done with Toy Fair.
Again, you know, I'll just reiterate, if you really want toy news, in my personal opinion, it would behoove you to go online and go to actionfigure.com.
Yep.
Because that's the place.
If you need a tangible magazine, try Lee's or Tomart's. It's just not relevant. Toy Fair is just not relevant anymore.
From there, we talked about a couple of rumors, potentially. One of which was Marvel's potential project next year with Osama bin Banner and the World War Hulk storyline.
Did you just go there?
I did go there. I'm not ashamed, mostly. And let's hope that's a rumor. The other rumor would be potential Bob Hoskins doing the Penguin in the upcoming Batman film. There's been a lot of rumors floating around there that there is a character that is going to be in the film that they have not announced yet as far as actually being in the film or as far as casting is concerned. And I'd like to see it be Hoskins.
I got three words for you.
Okay.
Suri Holmes Cruz. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. From there, we went directly into
our discussion of the Star Wars re-release DVDs.
Wow, I definitely just had a brain fart. We went directly into our discussion of the Star Wars release DVDs, where we talked about the unaltered discs that are coming out or that are out technically now as of September 12th that will only be available until December 31st. We talked about some of the changes that Lucas has undone for purposes of the disc and whether or not we feel it was a gift or a slap in the face. I really feel like it's kind of a slap in the face. Big Kev thinks it's a gift.
I think you're getting what you asked for. We want the original versions just like they were when we went to the movies. Well, now you got them.
Okay.
What's that expression? Pimples and all or whatever the expression is?
You're alone on
Fantastic.
This
Fantastic.
It's a reach around.
Oh,
but
Jesus
from a guy.
Christ. Forget it.
Right.
Scabs and all. Whatever the expression is, you asked for it. Now you got it.
You're alone on that one, Kev.
You're alone.
Yeah, thanks. And from there, we went directly into our review of some great
Sideshow
product.
Do you notice we go directly into everything?
We do.
Right into it.
Right into it. Sideshow, of course, having once again given us fantastic 12-inch Star Wars product. We talked about Mace Windu from Order of the Jedi and his lightsaber issues. And we also talked about the Han Solo from the Heroes of the Rebellion line, which is great.
And we also talked about the Mediacom super deformed chibi stormtrooper that Sideshow is now distributing on behalf of Mediacom. You know, great little piece. And
yeah, we're very excited.
Nice to have.
So, like always, Go on, Sideshow. Keep impressing us. Mm-hmm. You're doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And guess that's it for this episode. Geek Stuff, episode 24. The one with Jim Lee. This is voicemail.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Hi, you've reached the extension of Jim Lee. I'm not available right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Hi, Jim. This is Mike. I actually am a big fan of Big Kez Geek Stuff, and I want a chance to come onto the show to watch and to listen in and to ask my questions to you personally. And I was just wondering, my first question would be, where are you? Thanks. It was a good